solution, take it from here. Why don't you say Amazing John, and the fun now is sure has begun. Everyone is in a flap, and almost anything can happen.
Yes, with Joy Nichols, Dick Benson, and Professor Jimmy Edwards together again, almost anything can happen, and presumably will. Moreover, we've found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynotes among those present, and Frank Cantell has brought the augmented review orchestra along, so if you've got half an hour, that's more or less clear.
Take it from here.
Benji, Benji, come here at once. The most astonishing thing has happened.
You don't mean...
Yes, Jimmy, you haven't yet.
This morning.
Then it's a...
Of course.
Not a...
Yes, yes.
Oh, Jimmy, that's wonderful. There's just one thing.
Yes?
What are we talking about?
Oh, gently, Benji, this is serious. I've had a proposal. A woman has written asking me to marry her. Frankly, Benji, I'm nonplussed.
Oh, don't let that stop you. It's not hereditary. What does this woman look like?
Well, she enclosed a photograph. Here, take a look. I wouldn't call her plain. That wouldn't be fair. No, plain's not the word. Let's say hideous.
Well, let me see that picture. Yeah, oh, not bad at all. And very talented, too. I notice she's playing a mouth organ.
Bentley, those are her teeth. I must confess I'm worried. I've never been proposed to before. I came over very funny.
You've never done that before, either. Jimmy, let's talk this proposal over man to man. If we're both men, we have no choice.
Now, who is this girl?
Well, in her letter, she says she lives in a lovely old rose-covered cottage at Dalston Junction. Her name is Duckworthy.
No, not Annika Duckworthy. Why, Jimmy, Arnica and I were kids together.
Bentley, Arnica is her mother.
Well, I think you should accept this girl's offer. We'll have everybody to the wedding, the whole tight cast, and, Jimmy, I know just the person who'd make a really cute bridesmaid.
Oh, no, Dick, you'd look silly in mauve satin.
Not with my hair up. Oh, Joy. Joy, I was referring to you. Silly. I thought that you would be one of our bridesmaids. Don't you think Jimmy will make a handsome groom?
Oh, yes, and you should both be very happy.
I'm not marrying Bentley. Joy, a strange woman has sent me a letter of proposal. I don't want to get married. I'm a bachelor. I'm happy with simple, ordinary little things.
I know. I've seen you out with some of them. What's this girl like? Is she pretty?
Well, let's put it this way. She has the kind of look that other women like a woman to have.
Well, I still think you should consider the proposal very carefully, Jimmy. After all, you're not a child. You've ripened into manhood, and she's ripened into womanhood.
So why not get hitched while you're both ripe?
I will not be bludgeoned into this thing. If I decide to accept and get married, I may have qualms later.
Oh, very likely, yes.
Is qualms more than triplets?
You're throwing up a wonderful opportunity, Jimmy. Just imagine the picture. You come home at night, tired and hungry. Your wife greets you with a hug. And while she goes humming round the kitchen, a little rosy-cheeked toddler puts his grubby little face up against yours for a kiss. What do you say to that, Jimmy?
That is the most revolting thing I've ever heard. Now, I'll have nothing to do with this woman. I am proud to say that I have never allowed myself to become involved with female members of the opposition sex.
Oh, yes, you have, Jim.
Oh, Jimmy, it's your protege, Wallace Eaton, the voice of your past.
Yes, Jim. Don't you remember when we used to go snogging at the Pally?
Well, I told you to keep quiet about my antecedents. Just because I had the misfortune to be associated with you in my youth, there's no need to resuscitate it conversationally.
Smashing words Jim uses now, don't he? I'm very proud of you back in the buildings, Jim. Yes, your granny cut your photo out the Radio Times and pinned it up.
In her boudoir?
No, on her barrack.
Oh, the truth's coming out now, Jimmy. You told us your granny could always be found round Mayfair.
Well, Hyde Park Corner. It's the better seat for off chestnuts. Fine old lady she is, Mr. Bentley. You'd love her.
He very probably did. Now, that's quite enough, Wallace.
No, Wallace. This is very revealing. Tell us more.
Well, miss, you see, Jim's people are respectable. Oh, you ought to see their front parlor. You could eat off the floor. Well, they do. Here, Jim, you know who I run across today? Mabel Bucky.
What a ghastly name.
Oh, you remember Mabel? Mabel Bucky. Her balcony used to empty onto yours.
I've never heard of anybody called Muriel Bucky.
Mabel Bucky. You was very fit for a while, Jim.
Was she an old flame of Jimmy?
Old flame? All over the buildings, Jim Chalk. J. Edwards loved them Bucky. Jim's old officer brought them together.
Commanding officer?
No, the probation officer. You still have to report to him, Jim?
Oh, so that's where Jimmy dashes off after the show.
Oh, what blackguardly allegations.
Well, the point is, Jim, I've seen Mabel often down at the old flea pit. She's a big film.
I'm sorry. You know, I believe I do recall a hazel bouquet.
Mabel Bucky. She said to me, remember how Jim always wanted to be a big star, go on the BBC, be a famous comedian, make millions of people laugh.
It's funny how things turn out.
I know. Jim.
Yes?
What happened?
Of type feature. This week we're going to consider the attractions of country life.
This topic, as you know, has already gained prominence on the BBC through the fine work of Mr. A.G. Street.
Oh, yes, I know he's singing to tune well. A.G. Street, see him walking down.
Oh, Bentley.
Sorry, I've been to the panto.
Ladies and gentlemen, facts on country life.
What is the attraction of life in the country? Let us listen to an erstwhile city gentleman who now spends all his time on the rolling moorlands.
I was a city stockbroker until I came here. Now all that sordid finance is behind me, and I'm out in all weathers, toiling on this plot of ground with a good strong spade in my hand and the rich brown earth beneath my feet. And what is more, as business restrictions increase, more and more of my city associates are joining me.
All right, number 173, fall in for tea.
Coming, Warder.
Much research has gone into agriculture to improve the dairy farming yield. For instance, it was found that a cow yielded 8% more milk when milked to music. Such. Well, that was all right before the war. But with the need to close the dollar gap, the whole process has now been made much more efficient.
Many urban dwellers find the joys of country life by spending their annual holiday working on a farm. Our observer interviewed a typical holiday maker.
Now, Miss Arundel, you seem to have cleaned up this barn very nicely. It looks really charming. Tell me, what is that loft up there used for? I mean, is that your living quarters? Is it, as the poet says, the little room where the sun comes peeping in at dawn?
Oh, yes, and if I catch that little brat peeping in again, I'll tell his dad. Gilbert slithered because he said if anybody's got the right to...
Yes, quite right. Right, very understandable. This Gilbert now, is he a cowherd?
Oh, no, he's as brave as a lion till Mama arrives. Then he's a proper coward. He slithers like an aspirin, and all his...
Yes, of course. But I suppose Gilbert is also down here to go out in the fields and commune with Dame Nature.
Oh, yes, he'll go out in the fields with any dame. He's terribly impulsive, I'm glad to say, and if I so much...
No, Miss Arundel. This is what I'm trying to get at. Do you and Gilbert ever miss your urban days?
Miss our urban days? Well, hardly the way things are. Well,
what do you mean?
Well, Herb kicked down with Gilbert and I share a room with Dave.
Maharaja of Magadore, who had 10,000 camels and maybe more. He had rubies and pearls and the loveliest girls, but he didn't know how to do the rumba. He could afford a big reward to his people. One day he said,
and take my pearls, take my camels and take my girls. Rumba lessons I want it for the rich Maharaja of Magador.
So a slick little chick answered, "That for me." To the ad he had placed in Variety. When she saw his expanse, she could tell at a glance that he'd never learn how to do the rumba. He had his wealth, he had his health, so he looked in her eyes and said,
"Ah!" Which means take my rubies and take my pearls, take my camels, I keep my girls. From now on you'll be working for the rich Maharaja of Magador.
He was anxious to learn, so she taught him right. But she taught him the thrill of a moonlit night. He discovered the bliss of a half-promised kiss, but he never learned how to do the rumba. And on the day she went away, you could hear all the people say, took his rubies and took his pearls, took his camels and took his girls, took his money and what is more, she took the Maharaja of Magador, the poor Maharaja of Magador.
Thank you, Miss Nichols, and I can't do it. It's a sort of rebop effect, isn't it? Well, anyway, thank you, Miss Nichols. Greetings, gentle folk, and greetings, gentle folk. I've said that twice, you see, because between you and me and a few million listeners, we hope, I'm trying to make it into a catchphrase. phrase, you know. Like that new one, give the lad a boxcar, or, and you know the other one, Mr. Tudor Eads' catchphrase, a land fit for Eros to live in. But you know, these catchphrases do spread, you know, yes. At a recent spirited debate on Friday Forum between Mr. Quentin Hogg, MP, and Mr. Harry Pollitt, the chairman was heard to remark, Quinney's mocking Harry, eh, Harry, eh? Then, of course, Bentley's name is always linked with the catchphrases which he did so much to make famous, such as, hello, ragtime. And that other one, free Mrs. Pankhurst. But I shall stick to my greetings, gentle folk, because last week I achieved my lifelong ambition. I entertained a party of opticians and started off with greetings, focal gents. And did they laugh? No, they didn't. But it was a truly national gathering. I was welcomed by a stilted Welshman wearing pince-nez and a kilted Scotsman wearing nez pants. Pince-nez? Nez pants. No. Anyway, these... You can only try them once, can't you? Now, these opticians... No, honestly, these opticians are very jolly fellows. Every time the toastmaster told them to charge their glasses, they sent a bill in to Anar and Bevan. It's a play on words. Now, I asked the waiter if I could see the menu, whereupon he held it 6 feet away and covered one of my eyes. Then before serving the food, he covered up the other eye. One optician must have been very inexperienced, because when I asked him what he thought of my act, he said, I've never seen a cornea. However, the evening finished on a very jolly wacko note. All the opticians gathered round the piano and sang all their favorite choruses, like Two Lovely Weak Eyes and On a Bifocal Made for Two. And you can enough of that. So, to the overture to this week's film, which is a bit of a spectacle itself. Frank Santel has arranged special music for this, and music lovers will notice that the orchestra starts off in the mood and finishes up so tired. So, overture, gentlemen, please.
What would you do if you were married to Dick Bentley and he was sentenced to the electric chair? Would you fight to save him? Or would you let him rot?
Let him rot!
That is the problem which faced lovely Joy Nichols in this week's Tice film. A collection of film critics were driven to the theater in a lorry, the brakes of which were personally tested for them by Sir Alexander Corder. Listen to the lorry's arrival. Our picture is the story of a life at stake and how the crusading reporter saved an innocent man from the chair. The film is so thrilling that when Mr. Frank Cantell took a girlfriend to see it, she screamed three times and once at the film. See Joy Nichols in her finest in Gone with the Ween.
They came and took my Joe away. My Joe, he was always so good to me. He never came home. Now look where they've put him, in the halfpenny penitentiary. Yeah, the halfpenny penitentiary. That's the poor man's penitentiary.
In the male lead, we have young Richard Bentley, delicious, delightful delinquent. See him as Joe, the innocent soda jerk, taken to police headquarters and grilled.
Yeah, I was the toast of the town. Then they grilled me. After I'd given them the best years of my life. From the picture of the same name.
We're gonna make you talk, Joe. Even if we have to beat it out of you. See this rubber hose? Now talk.
Okay. Which end am I talking to?
Opposite him, we have Professor Jimmy Edwards, who won fame as a dentist in the new film Taproot. Today, he plays the keen newspaperman who is determined to help poor old Joe.
Yeah, they can't muzzle me. I'm a reporter, and I'm going to clean up this one-horse town. All I need is a big scoop. Yeah, all I do now is sub-edit. Whenever I ask for a sub, they say, you've edit.
And so to our film. If you saw Northside 777, if you saw The Naked City, keep quiet about our film. We're using the same plot. Ladies and gentlemen, we present You're the Crime in My Cafe, or They Made Me a Milkshake.
Water, I'm innocent. They've taken me to the electric chair in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, they're coming for me. They can't do it. I've just got married.
Well, I hope you'll be very happy.
Hey, you can't do this to me. Who's going to look after my poor darling Gloria? And besides Gloria, who's going to look after my wife?
Say, Bud. Say, your wife's waiting to see you. Come on in, Mrs. Bentley.
Oh, gee, honey, you look swell in that uniform. How about a kiss, huh?
Now, how's about a kiss for me?
Oh, Joe, I've been thinking of you. Look, I bought you half a dozen sausage rolls and a fruit cake.
But they're going to electrocute me in 4 minutes.
Well, eat quickly.
Baby, you don't understand.
I've only got 4 minutes.
Oh, honey, tell me about our little kid, little Chuck. How's he making out?
Oh, fine. He's learning to crawl.
To crawl? Gee, fancy our son, a civil servant. Sadie, kid, you don't know what it's been like in the bin. Nobody can who ain't been in the can. Kid, I want you to know, this is curtains.
Oh, yeah, real velvet, too. Listen, Joe, I found a newspaper man who wants to fight your case. He's with me now. Meet Jim Edwards.
Miss Edwards, I was just an innocent bystander, but the cops dragged me to the pen. They grilled me, they beat me up, and now they're going to electrocute me.
Oh, how aggravating for you. But all is not lost. I think I have a pardon. Yes, here it is. Pardon.
Joe, Mr. Edwards has brought you glad tidings.
Pleased to meet you, Miss Tidings.
No, it's good news. I think I can get you a reprieve. My editor, Barney McGougal, will pay you $1,000 if you'll tell me the truth.
Oh, do what this guy Barney wants, Joe. With his money, we can buy all those little things we've always gone without. A toothbrush.
Okay. I'll talk. That night, I came out of the cinema, and there by the wall was the body. My knees felt weak as I looked at it. I never knew a human being could look like that.
Was it the victim?
No, a poster of Jane Russell. Without knowing what I was doing, I tore it down with my bare hands.
Not the poster?
The wall. I stuffed the poster in my hat band, and suddenly I heard shouting, then shots, then ringing a bell.
The Charlie Chester Show.
Even worse, the police. Then they came and arrested me. And that was my most embarrassing experience.
Give him the money, Barney.
Flash, we interrupt this program of uninterrupted music to bring you crime news. Here is a police message. Well, the 40 constables who are chasing the criminal responsible for the jeweler's shop outrage, please go at once to Piccadilly. A car has been left parked near a yellow van. Flash, the Bentley case. Jim Edwards, crusading reporter, today sees the governor with new proof of Bentley's innocence.
You've got to listen to me, Governor. Bentley is innocent. You've only got to look at his face. Now, here's a photo of him. Just look at it.
Show me. No, he goes to the chair.
But there's a principle at stake here. Remember, Bentley comes from Washington, D.C.
Well, the chair is AC, but we can get an adapter.
Governor, I swear Joe Bentley is telling the truth. Every word he said tallied with what I have in the script.
Okay. Well, let him submit to a test with a lie detector.
Oh, don't let bother the income tax people about this.
If he can pass the lie detector, he goes free. If he don't, he not only gets the electric chair, he gets an endorsement on his driving license.
Last, we stop this program of nonstop variety to bring you crime news. A dangerous dope has left a doctor in the back of a saloon car. Flash, the Bentley case draws to a climax today when Bentley faces the grueling lie detector test.
Now, Bentley, let me explain this lie detector. This dial records your blood pressure. This records your heartbeat. And this records the perspiration on the capillary ends of the nerve. We add all the dial readings together to get the final score.
Okay, I'll play you two games, lose a prize.
Now, this bell here, that rings when anybody tells a lie.
Oh, go on, Joe. This will clear you. We can leave this police station and start a new life together. After all, you're a young man.
Right. Right, now the machine is all set. I'll simply adjust this other little knob here.
Well, what did that get you?
Could get you anything. Last time I run a clock. Wait a minute. What's this loose wire doing here?
That's my arm.
Now we'll start. I'll just suggest a word to you, and you say the first thing that comes into your head. It's called association of ideas, okay? Now, murder.
Corn.
East 57th Street.
Corn.
Bloodstained knife.
Corn.
Yes. Why do you keep saying corn?
You're standing on my foot.
Oh, don't fuss. After all, I'm quite a lightweight.
Mr. Edwards, what does the lie detector say?
In a moment, the machine will deliver an accurate estimate of Bentley's testimony. Just switch the machine to voice. Now.
Well, how am I?
You're a flaming liar.
That settles it. No reprieve. I wash my hands of you. Have you got any soap?
Well, you can't wash your hands while we're standing in the station.
No, wait. I have just thought of a clue that will prove Bentley's story about seeing the body. Look in Bentley's hatband. Quick, Bentley, show him the poster of Gain Russell.
Yeah, give it to me. Thank you, I...
Oh, he's dropped to the ground.
He's electrocuted.
So he is. And there's your moral to this story.
Crime does not pay.
No. Never touch a photo of Jane Russell with wet hands.
Frank Cantell and the augmented review orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved with Joy Nichols, Dick Benson, Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and the keynote. Frank Miller and Dennis Norton worked very hard on the script, and Charles Maxwell rang the bell with production. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in at a similar time next week and...